In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Richard Holloway's melancholy book, Looking in the Distance, he observes that the art of living well has a lot to do with knowing when it's time to go, so that we can gather up our things and get on the bus before new guests arrive. Although deeply reflective and written by a man in the autumn of his life, it is more than a memoir, an attempt, in fact, to make sense of where his journey has taken him and how that reflection may nourish him in his remaining years. One of the things one inevitably does as a priest is visit retirement homes. And if this ministry is to be more than a duty, it requires us to look beneath the surface of the frail elderly people we encounter there and try to gain a glimpse of the person we are engaging and the life that they have led. In hearing their stories, we soon discover that undiminished appetite for life that we are all capable of concealing when we are wounded, sick, or tired. Often, they joke, argue, complain, and generally display a feistiness that belies their years and frailty in a way that makes clear that they are not yet ready to leave the party. In one of his letters from America, the commentator on American affairs, now departed, Alistair Cook, once told of anthropologists who had found a remote tribe where members lived to unusually long old age. A team of researchers was dispatched to discover the cause of their longevity. Was it their diet, their way of life, the climate? It turned out to be none of these things. What the researchers found was that this was a group who attached great honour to being old. When we value age, we help to create it. There is something life-enhancing about being respected for one's years. Stand in the presence of age, says Leviticus, and honour the face of the old. Today's celebration of Candlemas takes us to a place where the aged are honoured. The scene is set in the temple at Jerusalem. The darkened, candle-burnt interior is populated, among others, by two elderly people, Simeon and Anna. It can be a grace to know when your end is at hand, but for the most part, it is better that we do not know. We get the sense that these two, having lived a full life, yet retain a sense of purpose and motivation, a duty to be fulfilled, a final piece of the jigsaw to be put in place, a revelatory arrangement of all that they have seen, heard, and been that will signal to them that their time, their moment, has come. Simeon, we hear, was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He had been gifted a revelation by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. Anna was a prophet. After a short marriage, she had lived as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And into their expectant ambit arrive Mary and Joseph. Mary carries the baby Jesus, who is to be presented to the Lord as firstborn male children must be. Mary herself is to complete her post-maternity purification. But the spark that forever ignites this moment in the Christian imagination is best summed up in the Eastern Orthodox title for this feast, Upapante, the meeting. The encounter between the baby Jesus and these elderly attentives is the satisfaction of expectancy with expectation fulfilled. It is most adequately contained in the Song of Simeon that we know as the Nunc Dimittis, this Latin title meaning, "Now you dismiss," is the beginning of Simeon's paean of praise to God. He takes the baby Jesus in his own arms, light literally emanating from the child in the darkness. He illuminates the faces of Simeon and Mary as they momentarily acknowledge the work of God's Spirit in their exchange. Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The Anglican Church appropriated this song and embedded it in the offices of evening and night prayer, most effectively in Cranmer's Evensong, where before laying our heads to rest at night, we acknowledge the sense of completion encapsulated in Simeon's oration. Properly understood, it belongs to today's feast to be sung as Christ, the light of the world, is metaphorically placed into our hands in the form of a lighted candle here in our own temple of worship. But allow it, if you will, to take you deeper into a reflection upon your own journey through life, to the time and place where your own moments of revelation and understanding have come. How faithfully have you held the treasure of faith that has been placed into your hands? How patiently have you journeyed towards that moment when God will dismiss you in peace? How attentively do you watch for his coming among us, his activity in the midst of our distracted lives? Candlemas is more than a passing moment in the calendar. It reminds us that fulfillment comes when we have taken the opportunity to seek God in the journey of our lives. For only when we have allowed the wisdom that comes with age to inform our perspective will we recognize the Consoler and the Redeemer when he comes to us. It is this that causes us to pray with the psalmist, "Cast us not away when we grow old. As our strength fails, do not forsake us." God of Anna and Simeon, whose law of love makes known the gift of life, by your Spirit, may we receive your faithful word to Gentile and to Jew, and in our declining years, know your reconciling presence offered for all the world through Jesus Christ, the light and the glory of God. Amen. Amen.